بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وبعد. فهذه المحاضرة في الحقيقة هي محاضرة منهجية تحتاج إلى شيء من التركيز وإلى شيء من الفهم والدقة في فهم ما سيطرح، فهي ليست كساء بقيها من المحاضرات بشكل عام، تاب مبناها على القصص وذكر شيء من أحياء الصحابة، بل مرادي في هذه الأطروحة تأصيل جانب علمي مهم يجب أن يكون واضح في أذهان المسلمين جميعا. This lecture, brothers and sisters, it's not even it will be not as a lecture, I'm just going to give it in short time. Even though the subject of this lecture is very important, because it's a way of life, it's something you need to know it, and it's not stories, it's not talking now about the story of the Sahaba or their life. It will talk mostly about something you should know, and many people are confused about this issue. Therefore, it needs from you to concentrate and try to understand carefully what I'm going to say, and that's also needs from me more. I should be more specific in my words and choose the right words to explain the right meaning. أبدأ الحقيقة بنقل من رسالة لإمام من كبار أئمة السنة. هذا الإمام اسمه أبو زيد القيرواني، له رسالة هي من أهم الرسائل المؤلفة في أصول الاعتقاد عند أهل السنة. يقول رحمه الله: السلف الصالح وهو الصدر الأول، الراسخون في العلم، المهتدون بهدي النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، والحافظون لسنته، اختارهم الله تعالى لصحبة نبيه وانتخبهم لإقامة دينه. That Abu Zayd al-Qayrawani, one of the great scholars, early scholars, he was in the 4th century, he was born 310 in Maghrib. He said that as-salaf al-salih, it means the first generation in Islam, those people has the most knowledge, or the most knowledgeable people among the ummah, and those people who the Prophet ﷺ's companion basically. وَوَاجِبٌ ذِكْرُ كُلُّ مِنْ صَحَابَتِهِ بِالْخَيْرِ وَالْكَفِّ عَمَّا بَيْنَهُمْ شَجَرًا فَلَا تَخُضْ فِي حُرُوبٍ بَيْنَهُمْ وَقَعَتْ عَنْ اجْتِهَادٍ وَكُنْ إِنْ خُضْتَ مُعْتَذِرًا والاقتداء بهم في الدين مفترض فاقتدي بهم واتبع الآثار والسور He said in that Risala, that letter, it's been even that letter is very important. Even some scholars made it as a poet, he made it lines, and one of those scholars, he said وواجب ذكر كل من صحابته بالخير والكف عما بينهم شجرة. It's obligation to say good about the Sahaba and do not involve in whatever dispute happened between them or dispute happened between them. You're not allowed to involve in that and talk in details, going through what the fights happen between them and such things like that. Don't talk about the war, what the war happened between the Sahaba, and this war happened because a kind of ijtihad. And if you are going to talk about this matter, you talk in a way which is to give excuse for them, not to talk to say that's mistake, he's wrong, he's fisk, this is the bad, this evil. We don't talk about this like this about the Sahaba. والاقتداء هذا محل الشاهد والاقتداء بهم في الدين مفترض copying them, imitating them, or following them, or taking their steps is something obligation. So copy them, take them as a role model, and follow their steps, and follow al-athara wa-suwara, and follow what the narrations, and follow the Quran. So it's a three things. ولذا قال الإمام أحمد رحمه الله تعالى في كتاب أصول السنة, أصول السنة عندنا, لما قال أصول السنة, السنة التي تخالف البدعة, أصول السنة عندنا أول أصل قال التمسك بما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. الإمام أحمد in his letter the foundation of sunnah, he said the foundation of sunnah, we have the first one is to follow or to hold tied to the Prophet ﷺ's companions sunnah, or to follow their sunnah or their way. يقول أيضا العلامة السفاريني رحمه الله المقدسي, المراد بمذهب السلف ما كان عليه الصحابة الكرام رضوان الله عليهم وأعيان التابعين لهم بإحسان وأتباعهم وأئمة الدين ممن شهد له بالإمامة وعرف عظم شأنه في الدين وتلقى الناس كلامهم خلف عن سلف دون من رمي ببدعة, دون من رمي ببدعة. That الإمام السفاريني said that the Salaf is the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم and the تابعين who follow them and the أئمة the major scholars who follow the Sahaba's steps. Therefore you read in the book of Ahl Sunnah يقولون دائما ويجب اتباع ما كان عليه السلف الصالح, it's obligation to follow what the Salaf used to do. I would like to give some points regard this statement. What they meant by this, by following as Salaf al-Salih radiallahu anhu, they meant as it's clearly here as-Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Why? Because there is no in Kitabullah or Sunnah Rasulullah sallam, no narrations, no proofs in Sunnah and Kitabullah and Sunnah Rasulullah sallam saying that we should follow anyone as a person except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No one, even Abu Bakr, even Umar, as an individual, as a person, no one, we've been ordered to follow him except Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to copy him in whatever related to the deen. Thanian, none of the human being we've been ordered to follow as a group except one group, which is the group of the Sahaba رضي الله عنه. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله ولم يأمر الله ورسوله باتباع رجل معين مطلقا إلا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ولم يأمر باتباع جماعة إلا جماعة أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. هذا أصل عظيم من أصول الدين. There is a narration said, talk about a great generation, like the second generation. But it doesn't say follow the second generation, follow the tabi'een. It asks us to follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Also, we have tons of narrations from the scholars in every generation in Islam order us to follow the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, as you will see. Third, what makes the Sahaba special? The Sahaba radiallahu anhum, none of them was mubtadi'. In the generation of the Sahaba, none of the Sahaba mubtadi'. Even though if the Sahabi said something, it's not going with Kitabullah and Rasulullah, we don't call it bid'ah. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله والبدعة هي ما لم يكن له أصل في كتاب الله أو سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أو كلام أحد من أصحابه. ولذلك نحن لا نقول عن فعل أي صحابي أنه بدعة. We don't say to any of the Sahaba's action بدعة. None of the Sahaba مبتدع. But among the تابعين, for example, look at الذهبي said in لسان الميزان الجهم بن صفوان جهمي خبيث صاحب اعتقاد فاسد هلك في زمان صغار التابعين لا تعرف له في كتب السنة رواية. الجهم بن صفوان, this man is an evil man basically. He one of the person who divide this ummah up to today. That الجهم بن صفوان. That الجهم, just to show you how evil he was, he used to bring the people, his students, like this Arab, bring his students and go to the where the sick people with illness, people with this, the hopeless cases. He will take his students and tell them, look, is this a mercy God? Where is his mercy? And he used to erase some ayahs from Mus'haf he don't like. Anyway, this Al-Jahm bin Safwan is an evil person. He took his belief from a Jewish guy. It go back to the one who made the magic to the Prophet ﷺ, Lubayd ibn al-Asr. That person, Al-Dhahabi said, he was in the Tabi'een generations. See, he was in their time. He was in the Sahaba. In the Sahaba time, no one from Ahlul Bid'ah came. It started in the second generation. So let's make the Sahaba a pure generation. A pure generation. One of said might say now, hey Sheikh, Shia, Khawarij, they were with Ali, fighting Ali, and Ali was Sahaba. So this is in the Sahaba time, there is sects and people, deviant people came. But that means you didn't understand the meaning of generation. Generation doesn't mean, the translate for generation Arabic, it means qarn. A generation, it doesn't mean 100 years. Or qarn, it doesn't mean 100 years, as many people think. Generation, it means a period of time where most of the Sahaba lived. Most of the Sahaba passed away in the beginning of Ali ibn Abi Talib's life. So the generation of the Sahaba, the first generation in Islam, it end basically in the middle of Ali ibn Abi Talib's period. And the second generation Islam start from Ali and end in the end of Muawiyah radiallahu anhu. This is what you call Qarn al-Thani fil Islam. The third Qarn, it's after Muawiyah until Abdul Malik ibn Marwan. It's not by 100, 200, 300, no, it's not like this. This is the way of the scholars understood the meaning of the generation. So the generation of the Sahaba until that time, it was pure. There is some ideas comes, but none of the people can say, come up with a new groups or a new idea or change something in the deen. ولذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كلمة عجيبة في صحيح مسلم في حديث أبي سعيد الخدري قال يخرج في هذه الأمة من تحقرون صلاتكم إلى صلاتي. قال أبو سعيد, شوف الصحابي كيف دقته, قال أبو سعيد الخدري قال يخرج فيهم ولم يقل يخرج منهم, يعني يخرج في بعض أصحابي عنده ولم يخرج من أصحابي. من هو ضال. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said a group, it will appear in your time. He didn't say from you a group will come. No, they are not from the Sahab, as the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said. يقول الإمام الشافعي رحمه الله, الشافعي said المحدثات ضربان ما أحدث يخالف, شوف الشاهد, كتابا أو سنة أو أثرا, يعني عن الصحابة, أو إجماعا, فهذه بدعة ضلالة. إذن البدعة ما لم تكن لا في كتاب الله ولا في سنة رسول الله ولا في أقوال الصحابة أو أعماله. Fourth point regard الصحابة, أن أقوال الصحابة لها خصوصية لا توجد لغيرهم. مذهب الأئمة الأربعة وجماهير أهل العلم, وهو مذهب الإمام أبو حنيفة ومالك وأحمد في المشهور عنه والشافعي في أحد قوليه, أنه قال إذا قال الصحابي قولا واشتهر ولم يعلم له مخالف فهو حجة ينزل منزلة الدليل. The Sahabi, if he said something and became popular, and none of the Sahaba disagree with him about it. You see, the scholars, Abu Hanifa, Malik, Ahmed in his famous, the famous opinion, and the Shafi'i, one of his opinions, say that means that statement from the Sahabi is itself proof. You have to follow it. It's like the Dalil, because they consider this like Ijma'. أيضا العصر الذي اكتملت فيه العبادة والعلم والعمل الخيرية المطلقة لهذا العصر لم يكن إلا في عصر الصحابة كما سمعنا من خلال هذا المؤتمر كله. شفنا كيف أحوالهم في الزهد، في حب الله، في التعلق بالآخرة، في قراءة القرآن، في اتباع سنة النبي عليه أفضل الصلاة والسلام. إذن العصر الذي اكتمل فيه هذا الخير كله هو عصرهم. The generation who fulfill all the meaning of Islam is the generation of صحابة النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. As you have seen in, during this conference. يقول ابن مسعود رضي الله عنه: من كان منكم متأسيا فليتأسى بأصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، فإنهم كانوا أبر هذه الأمة قلوبا وأعمقها علما وأقلها تكلفا وأقربها هديا وأحسنها حالا، قوم اختارهم الله لصحبة نبيه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وإقامة دينه، فاعرفوا لهم فضلهم واتبعوا آثارهم فإنهم كانوا على الهدى المستقيم. I was saying that Ibn Mas'ud رضي الله عنه said whoever wanna copy someone, he should copy the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's companion. Because they had the most pure hearts, and they have the deepest knowledge. أعمقها علما وأقلها تكلفا. They are كيف تترجم تكلفا؟ Less. They were not like the philosopher. They take it with this deep knowledge, but the knowledge was simple. As Umar رضي الله عنه said, العلم نقطة كثرها الجاهلون. علم is a dot, a drop. Spirit and the جاهلون, the ignorant, make it very big. Because علم is the علم itself is simple, but the ignorant make it more complicated. And they were not complicated at all. وأقربها هدى. They are closest to the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. They were the best. Those people Allah has chosen to companion Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to establish his deen, then recognized him. Realize how great they were, radiallahu anhum, because they were in the straight path. So you can say there is three signs for the Sahaba. They are the most knowledgeable people. With knowledge, they have wisdom, hikmah, and with wisdom they are free from bid'ah, free from envy in their hearts. كانوا أسلم الأمة من أمراض الشهوات والشبهات وأحكم الأمة وأعلم الأمة ومن بعدهم أنقصوا في العلم والحكمة والسلام. The sixth point, that all of the Sahaba is عدول. Udul, they are a trustworthy people. When you go to the Ay Hadith, we don't check the Sahabi how his narration. It's ala tol directly, he's adl. With this 6 points, you can realize the difference between the Sahaba and other than the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Therefore, you will say it very clearly in Kitab Allah wa Sunnat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we've been ordered to follow them. For example, I couldn't cover the whole thing in this minute, but just give you example from Al-Quran, from Sunnah. In Kitab Allah Azza wa Jalla, يقول الله عز وجل في سورة النساء: ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما يتبين له الهدى. انتبه. ومن يشاقق الرسول من بعد ما يتبين له الهدى ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين. من هم المؤمنين هنا؟ هم الصحابة. هل نستطيع أن نشهد لأحد بالإيمان بعد أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأن نقول هذه الآية نزلت فيهم؟ ما نزلت إلا في أصحاب رسول الله. ويتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين ماذا يحصل لهم؟ نوله ما تولى ونصله جهنم وساءت مصيره. ولذلك ما يشاقق سبيل الصحابة إلا ظالم لنفسه، إلا مبتغن العذاب والهلاك، كما سيتبين لك من حديث ابن مسعود وغيره قريبا. يقول الله عز وجل في سورة التوبة: يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. قال ابن عمر رضي الله عنه مع محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم واصحابه. الله سبحانه وتعالى in the first ayah that he said, the meaning of the ayah is that whoever will disobey the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and follow a way other than the Prophet's companion, that means he will be Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will punish him by the hell fire. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala order us to have taqwa from him and to be with the sadiqeen. With the sadiqeen, Ibn Umar means sadiqeen, means the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's companion. أيضا الله عز وجل يقول: والسابقون الأولون من المهاجرين والأنصار والذين اتبعوهم بإحسان رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه. دلت الآية بمنطوقها على أن المتبعين للمهاجرين والأنصار مرضي عنهم. إذن الذين لا يتبعون المهاجرين والأنصار بالمفهوم غير مرضي عنهم، يعني أنه مغضوب عليهم كما تبين لك في سورة النساء. الله سبحانه وتعالى in the other ayah in سورة التوبة said that he mentioned the مهاجرين and the أنصار, and he mentioned the people who follow them, the people who follow the مهاجرين and أنصار, that Allah pleased with them, which it means who are not following them, Allah is not pleased with them. يمكن the أدلة from the Quran, it's more than 13 or 15 ayah in كتاب الله سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم, in كتاب الله only showing that it's obligation to follow the صحابة. One of it, for example, also one more to give it. قال الله تعالى: فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به. من الذي المخاطب؟ الصحابة. فإن آمنوا بمثل ما آمنتم به, يعني آمن به الصحابة. فإذا كانوا على مثل ما كان عليه الصحابة حصل القبول منهم. In Sunnah al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith which is everyone know, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this ummah will divide to 73 groups. All of it's in the hellfire except one. Whom they are, ya Rasulullah? He said, قال ما كان ما كنت عليه اليوم وفي رواية الترمذي أنا وأصحابي. ما كنت عليه اليوم أنا وأصحابي, وهذا لفظ الترمذي. That what I am having now, me and my companion. Me and my companion. And the other hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, whoever will gonna live after me, he will see a lot of dispute. So what ya Rasulullah you will order us to do? He said, follow my sunnah and al-khulafa al-rashideen sunnah. What it means al-khulafa al-rashideen? There's two meaning for this al-khulafa al-rashideen. It means the four khalifa, which is not the strongest opinion. But the other one, it's more strongest, which is Al-Khulafa Al-Rashideen, whoever came after the Prophet ﷺ from the Sahaba, who is carrying what the Prophet ﷺ used to carry. يعني من خلف النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في العلم وليس فقط من خلفه في الملك. من خلفاء الراشدين أربعة. فمن خلفه في الملك والعلم فهم الخلفاء الراشدون. ولذلك هذا الاصطلاح لقب خليفة ما هو مراد به الاصطلاح العرفي الذي حصل بعد عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, لأن هذا اصطلاح خليفة كأمير للمؤمنين لم يكن معروف في عهد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم, إنما حدث بعده. فقوله الخلفاء الراشدين يعني من يخلفه في الملك والعلم كابن عباس وابن مسعود, ومن أول من يدخل فيهم طبعا أبو بكر وعمر وعثمان وعلي رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم also said, as a حديث مسلم, he said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من حديث أبي موسى الأشعري أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال: النجوم أمانات للسماء, the stars is saving the heavens, and I am saving my companions. And my companions they're saving the nation. So he saved his companion. His companion saved the nation. So he made a, here he compared his situation with the Sahaba. So they are for us like him for them. You got that? We are. The situation is like this. The Prophet ﷺ situation for the Sahaba, it's exactly like the Sahaba position for us. رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. And the Prophet ﷺ said, خير القرون قرني. The best generation is my generation. The narration about the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم is so many. But all of the of these narrations showing that following the Sahaba Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم is something not up to you as a Muslim. It's not something you can choose. Oh, you know, I'll follow them, not in this matter. It's, you know, you can be like this, you can follow other opinion. No, it's not like that. It's obligation by Kitabullah, by Sunnah Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, that you follow their methodology, their way. And when we're talking about this, we're not talking about following one of the Sahaba. يقول إمام ابن القيم رحمه الله في إعلام الموقعين كلام طويل خلاصته, يقول المراد باتباعهم اتباع طريقتهم, اتباع منهجهم, لا اتباع أفرادهم أو أحادهم أو أفراد أقوالهم. The way we understand following the Sahaba, it's by following the way they used to be, not to follow one of them or some opinions. No, it's the way they understand. I'll give you an example. من منهج أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أنهم لم يكونوا يفرقوا بين الدليل القرآني والدليل النبوي. إذا جاء الأمر من كلام الله أو من سنة رسول الله قالوا سمعنا وأطعنا. هذا منهج ما يصلح يأتي في الأمة من يقول لا اصبر, هذا ما يصلح لأن حديث, أريد آية من القرآن. أما حديث أنا لا, أعطني آية, في عندك آية من القرآن؟ نقول هذا ليست طريقة أصحاب محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم في التعامل مع الدين. For example, the companion, one of the way of the companions of the Islam, I give another example in English, I give one in Arabic, I give another one in English, so it'll be more interesting for all of you. That the Sahaba, for example, when someone deliver hadith to them, they will accept it. Other people came later, said no, this hadith, it should be mutawatir. When you talk about aqidah issue, you have to bring me mutawatir, which it means more than 10 narrators. We will say none of the sahaba ever, in his methodology, or none of the sahaba ever said, I will never accept anything regarding aqidah without 10 narrations or 10 narrators or 10 witnesses. This wasn't in the Sahaba's way. So to be exist after them is not acceptable. So this is a way of them. For example, another example, the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم لما تأتي نصوص القرآن لم يكن أحدهم أبدا يجعل لنصوص القرآن ظواهر وبواطن. For like we see people, the Sahaba, when they read the Quran or they read the Ahadith, none of them said, oh, it has meaning for the simple people like us and deep meaning for the special people. Like what? He said, you read, for example, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. He said, you understand, simple people understand from أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, establish prayer. But special people understand from establishing prayer, it means that you pronounce the imam's names. Or saying had been exist in some of the tafsir's books. Or some of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم, they will never give full obedience to someone except Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. Whoever came later and said, no, you have to choose somebody to follow him blindly with everything, it's not in the Sahaba's life. Never been exist. Except Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Therefore, when Bani Umayyah came, said, when Khalifa said something, it means it's no way to ask him. Therefore, one of their leader, Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, once said, he said, أيهم أعز عليك، خليفتك أم رسولك؟ يعني الرسول اللي ترسله بالبريد ولا الخليفة اللي يخلفك في الملك؟ حجاج once said who is more يعني honorable, the one who the crown prince would take your place after you, or your messenger? For sure everyone said the crown prince, the one who's gonna be khalifa after me, the king. He said therefore the khalifa is more important than the prophets, because prophets just carrying a message, but the khalifa is the one who يعني present God in the earth. And after this statement, a lot of the scholars of tabi'in, they made takfir to al-Hajjaj from that statement. It's obedience that was not exist in the Sahaba's methodology, to say that person I have to obey him blindly. It's not like that. None of the Sahaba, when he read any verse of the Quran, for example in Nusus al-Sifat, he read Allah's attributes and names in the Quran, none of the Sahaba said, oh, let's go see here, oh, this ayat means this and that. Allah, for example, he love the mu'mineen? No, he doesn't love. Let's see another meaning. None of the Sahaba did that. So when somebody came, we said, no, following the methodology of the Sahaba, of understanding this, is obligation. And this is a very important matter, or a very important issue we should know, because many people think that following the Sahaba or the Salaf radiallahu anhu, which the Sahaba is something يعني, some people they claim for themselves that they follow that, it's easy يعني, I can't choose, it's not obligation for me. No, this is a something which is we consider as a methodology. It's not an issue or one or sin. No, it's a way of life, a way of understanding the deen. I will end very quickly with just mentioning 6 points, and then we start the question answer. That following the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum is the way for you to follow Allah's and His Messenger command. قال الله تعالى قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله. If you love Allah, follow Muhammad, then Allah will love you. Allah will love you. And the Prophet said, whoever obey me, he obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. طيب. Look to Umar ibn Abdul Aziz said that سنة ولاة الأمر من بعده صلى الله عليه وسلم وهم الصحابة سننا الأخذ بها تصديق لكتاب الله وسن استكمال الطاعة لله وقوة على دين الله ليس لأحد تبديلها ولا تغييرها ولا النظر فيما خالفها من اهتدى بها فهو مهتد ومن استنصر بها فهو منصور ومن خالفها اتبع غير سبيل المؤمنين ووالله الله ما تولى وأصلاه جهنم وساءت مصيره. Basically, Umar is saying that after the Prophet ﷺ, the Khulafa, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, had some established sunan, way of understanding, to show the way of understanding, the correct way of understanding the Kitabullah and Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, holding to this, it will lead you to understand or to follow Kitabullah and Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Second benefit, or the beneficial from following the way of the Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. The second point it is اتباع منهج الصحابة والسلف الصالح رضي الله عنهم هو من أصول الاستدلال عند أهل السنة. It's one of the foundation of the way to one of the proof, the evidence we using when we wanna يعني say something or state يعني when we want كيف نقولها. من أصول الاستدلال يعني one of the way to approve any matters to use the صحابة رضي الله عنهم statement. يقول شيخ الإسلام رحمه الله فالعلم المشروع, شوف الكلمة هذه عجيبة, فالعلم المشروع والنسك المشروع مأخوذ عن أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فأما من جاء عمن بعدهم فلا ينبغي أن يجعل أصلا. جميل. يستضاء به يستفاد منه، لكن ما يجعل أصل في الدين. اتباع الصحابة رضي الله عنهم هو العلامة الفارقة بين أهل السنة وأهل البدعة. The clear sign to different, to know the difference between مبتدع and Sunni, it's following the صحابة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم and the belief شعالي. He talk about the sect position from the السلف الصالح رضي الله عنه. شيخ الإسلام يقول لا يوجد مبتدع في تاريخ الإسلام يرضى بالانتساب إلى السلف لا اسما ولا حقيقة، اسما حتى يشمئز منها ولا حقيقة. لا يوجد في تاريخ، وهو رجل مستقصي لتاريخ الفرق وتاريخ الأديان وتاريخ الإسلام. He said there is no one among the أهل البدع ever will like to claim that he following a salaf رضي الله عنه, which is the صحابة again and again, which is the صحابة even by name. No, don't call me that. He hate that. Or to practice their ways. يقول ابن عباس وهو خير من ابن تيمية لما نظر الخوارج قال أتيتكم من عند أصحاب رسول الله وليس فيكم منهم أحد. He told the خوارج ابن عباس that I came from the Prophet's companion, none of them with you. See, it's a sign to know who is the Mubtadi, who is the Sunni. None of the Sahaba with the Khawarij group. He told them, if you have right, if you have something good, at least one of the Sahaba will be with you. وأخرج الدارقطني عن عباد بن العوام أيضا أثر عن شريك بن عبد الله لما حدث بحديث نزول الله إلى السماء فاعترض، قالوا بشر المريسي يقول كذا وكذا. انظر كيف استدل هذا الإمام شريك بن عبد الله، قال أما نحن أخذنا ديننا عن أبناء المهاجرين والأنصار، أما هم عمن أخذوا؟ أخذوا عن اليهود وعن النصارى وعن أراذل القوم وأسافلهم. علامة تفرق. رابعا اتباع منهج الصحابة رضي الله عنهم هو سبيل النجاة. الذي يريد النجاة يوم القيامة يلزم مسلكه، كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم كلها في النار إلا واحدة ما كنت عليه اليوم أنا وأصحابي. القضية قضية نصوص، ليست قضية أهواء، ليست قضية رغبات، ليست قضية تطويع. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said that all of these groups that Allah warned them about the hellfire, they might be punished in the hellfire except the one who followed the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and his companion. So it's the way to be saved in the day of judgment. Fifth, that following the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم companion is the way to be saved from any bid'ah. أصل مانع من الابتداع كما أنه أصل جامع للاتباع. مانع من الابتداع لأن البدعة كيف تحفظ منها؟ اسمع يقول لك ابن مسعود. How to be safe from the بدعة؟ ابن مسعود answering you saying إنكم ستحدثون ويحدث لكم فإذا رأيتم محدثة إيش العلاج؟ فعليكم بالهدي الأول. You are going to add something to the deen. There is bid'ah will come to you. If you see such so, go back to the old ways, which is the Prophet ﷺ's companion way. السادس أنها أن اتباع سنة الصحابة أصل رافع للنزاع. إذن أصل جامع للاتباع، أصل مانع من الابتداع، أصل رافع للنزاع. إذا اختلفنا في شيء فالرجوع إلى طريقتهم يرفع النزاع. ابن مسعود that the sixth point that when we have dispute to end this dispute look to the Sahaba how they look at that matter. Ibn Mas'ud he saw people after the Salat al-Fajr gathering and they have stone and this is in al-Darimi in Ibn Waddah al-Bida' it's authentic narration. They gathering and they said let's see, everyone will say Subhanallah Subhanallah 100 times ذكر جماعي together. And ابن مسعود been told, he went to them. فقال ابن مسعود وقف عليهم قال ما تصنعون؟ قالوا بس يعني عارفين ابن مسعود شديد يعني حب حب علينا ترى ما الخير ما أردنا إلا الخير يا أبا عبد الرحمن تجينا بصوتك اصبر شوي أول ما جاء قالوا ما أردنا إلا الخير. إيش قال؟ كلمة عجيبة. قال وكم من مريد للخير لم يصبه، وكم من مريد للخير لم يصبه. قال وكم من مريد للخير لم يصبه. إما إنكم على ملة أهدى من ملة أصحاب رسول الله، أو أنكم مفتتح باب ضلالة. شوف النزاع كيف رفع، لأن ما في أحد من الصحابة فهم من نصوص الذكر أنها تعمل بهذه الطريقة. Once I was been told to go to address some people, then after the salat they start making dhikr together all one time, subhanallah la ilaha adhkar together. I told them this is not the right way to do the dhikr. They said no, there is hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said مرة الملائكة تمر على قوم يذكرون الله في جماعة. The hadith said angel will come and there is people gathering and they making dhikr to Allah. I said طيب. Here's the point, here's the key. I told them this hadith the Sahaba know it. Did they understand the same way you understand this hadith? Did the Sahaba understood the same thing? That means gathering, that means one person talk and everyone repeat behind him? No. It means like this. One talk, people address, I'm teaching, you dhikr, you might repeat behind me. This dhikr wants to learn. But not like the way the Sufis are doing, standing and then when they get so exciting, they start jumping and cry, you know. This is really, they jump, they dance, they do this in the, even in the mosque, and this is I witnessed by my eye. So this not the way a Sahaba understood the way of dhikr to do it such way. So Ibn Mas'ud told them, what are you doing? They said, we want to do something good. He said, many people wish to do good things, but they do not. You are going to establish bid'ah, or you having deen better than the Prophet companions. Because none of the Prophet companions understand this understanding. And this is not only Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn Abbas also did this with the Khawarij. Ibn Umar did this with somebody was doing the same thing in Medina, and Ibn Umar told him the same thing. Abdullah ibn Zubair, and this is a very, very nice narration in Ibn al-Kubra ibn Bat. Abdullah ibn Zubair قال لما كنت في العراق خاصموني في القرآن. قال ما استطعت أن أرد عليهم. هبت القرآن، ما حد يقدر يتكلم فيه، والقرآن حمال أوجه. هبت المراجعة في القرآن، فاشتكوت إلى أبي، فقال إذا عادوا إليك فناظرهم بسنن أبي بكر وعمر. قال فلما رجعوا فناظرتهم بسنن أبي بكر وعمر، قال والله ما قاموا ولا قعدوا. ابن الزبير said I was in Iraq arguing with people. People bring evidence from Quran. Then I was afraid to talk in Quran because you know من قال بالقرآن برأيه فقد كفر. من قال بالقرآن برأيه فقد أخطأ ولو أصاب، يقول النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. وهذا تحذير شديد، ونتعجب من جرأة بعض المسلمين اليوم على الكلام في القرآن. والله واحد يقول لك والله أنا أقرأ هالآية وأستشف منها كذا وكذا وكذا برأيه، وهذا خطير. هذا تحذير من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم شديد. من قال بالقرآن برأيه فقد كفر، وفي رواية فقد أخطأ ولو أصاب. وليس هذا محل بيان معنى الفرق بين من كفر وبين من أخطأ ولو أصاب. المقصود ابن الزبير he was afraid to say anything. So his father told him when they come back argue with them with Sunan Abi Bakr wa Umar, the way that Abu Bakr understand the ayah or the hadith. Like for example people come saying ya akhi celebrating the Isra wa Mi'raj is something good. Celebrating the birth of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what's wrong with that? It shows our love to Muhammad, shows our love to him sallallahu alaihi wasallam. يعني nothing wrong with it. It's easy. We say, طيب the Sahaba Abu Bakr, he was the most one in among the Sahaba. He loved Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did he did that? Did he order the people to make the celebration of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his birthday or Isra wa Mi'raj? عمر عثمان أبو علي رضي الله عنه any of the صحابة and so on. Then he said, I did that, then they never ever be able to reply to me. That last point, which is it makes it seventh, that أن أشرف العلوم وأفضلها على الإطلاق هو علم ما كان عليه أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فهو أجمع العلوم ولذلك مما يحزن له طالب العلم أن تجد أحدنا يحرص على حفظ قول أحمد والشافعي ولا يحرص على حفظ مذهب أبي بكر وعمر وقول عثمان وفتيا أصحاب رسول الله في المسألة وهذا عيب ونقص موجد في المتأخرين من أهل العلم الذين أصبح غالب همتهم على المتأخرين من العلم دون المتقدمين لكن بلا ريب أن هؤلاء الأئمة الإمام أبو حنيفة ومالك والشافعي وأحمد هم ممن حصل علوم الصحابة وعرفها وخبزها وعجنها ثم كانت فتواهم مبنية على هذه الأصول ولذلك أصول الأئمة الأربعة كلهم تجمع على أن قول الصحابي مقدم حتى على الحديث الضعيف وهذا من أصول أبي حنيفة الذي يعني يعتبرونه العلماء أكثر ميلا للرأي أبو حنيفة يقدم القول الصحابي على الرأي يقدم قول الصحابي والحديث الضعيف على الرأي وله في ذلك أقوال كثيرة لمن تأمل ودقق في مذهب الإمام أبي حنيفة كما حقق ذلك العلامة الإمام ابن القيم رضي الله عنه رحمه الله تعالى that the greatest knowledge is the Sahaba's knowledge. والله when you read in the Sahaba's fatwa, look to علام الموقعين if you're able to see how their fatwa is. It has nur, light, very short, straight to the point, no much talk and things you don't need to know. رضي الله عنهم وأرضاه. And finally, all the Sahaba in Jannah, not only the 10th, not only the 40. Not only the 60, all the Sahaba in Jannah, رضي الله عنهم. But among them, 40 or 30 or 10 been told by their names they are in Jannah. But all the Sahaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet ﷺ promised them the Jannah. And this has made them a very special people that the only people been promised the Jannah, they are Sahaba Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. أسأل الله أن يجمعنا وإياكم بهم وأن يجعلنا وإياكم ممن يتبع سننهم وأن يوفقنا وإياكم لاتباع هديهم ظاهرا وباطنا كما قد يعني وقفنا على شيء من أحوالهم في ظواهرهم وبواطنهم وأعمالهم وعلومهم نفعنا الله وإياكم بما سمعنا وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله محمد